Golf Smarter Premium number 511, published on October 20, 2015. Off-season conditioning to keep you sharp and ready to go with Jeff Ritter, live on Blab.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Jeff.
Fred, thanks so much for having me.
It's always fun to have you, and that's why you've been on, what, 112 times out of the 500 episodes that we've done?
I think that's the exact number, actually.
It's been a lot, and we've even had you at one of our Golf Smarter events when we were in Phoenix, and that was really a lot of fun, having you join us for dinner and hanging out and talking and answering questions. And that's what I'm hoping we can do here today, too. Now that this is going to be episode 511 of the Golf Smarter Podcast, we're hoping to expand it and allow people to join in with us and make it interactive. So we're here at blab.im. And we'll be doing this, hopefully, with every Golf Smarter podcast, but we'll still be making it the podcast that people can listen to and they download. They can get the Golf Smarter app and get it automatically, or you can find us on iTunes. It's not hard to do. We're there a lot. But, you know, this is new for both of us, Jeff. So what I would love for you to do is give a little background on who you are so people understand how impressive you are with your teaching. And they can see right there on the screen that we've got your website up. And we'll put a little more information about the Pebble Beach vacation when we come to that as well.
So. Yeah, well, thanks, Fred. Well, I've been involved in the game my entire life. Grew up the son of a PGA golf professional just outside of Philadelphia and got into coaching at a very early age. Gave my first golf lesson when I was only 16 years old and grew up sort of, dreaming of one day, being able to be involved with, Golf Digest magazine. That was sort of the goal. And
really?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're looking at Jim Flick and Bob Toski and Jack Lumpkin and David Slav Jr. And, before all of this technology, was so abundant, where did you get your golf information? You got it from Golf Digest.
Yeah, exactly. And so did you want to be a contributor, or you wanted to have stories about Jeff Ritter in Golf Digest?
I just wanted to be part of the game on the biggest level that I could. And Golf Digest for me was always the gold standard, so the question is how do you do that? And, I was very fortunate for my first coaching job to be with Dave Pels out of PGA West. And, while I was with Dave Pels, I was, able to do some stuff with ESPN and Golf Channel. And believe it or not, that was 20 years ago, Fred.
So, wow.
Yeah. My first Golf Channel appearance was 20 years ago. So I'm 43.
Not bad for someone who's only 31 years old.
I wish that was the truth. But,
we're not going any closer than that.
Yeah, so after Dave Pels, I actually had a chance to work with the Golf Digest schools, and that gave me an avenue to submit some ideas to editorial, and that relationship became a positive one. And down the road, I got involved with Nike Golf Schools and Junior Camps. I'm now their national director. I run our flagship location out of Pebble Beach, and that's really what has brought myself and my wife, Kate, to the Pebble Beach area. We've been here almost 2 years now. We're now operating full time out of Poppy Hills. We run the camps in the summer, but then we also run our full time academy, which is known as Make the Turn for 12 months a year as well. We got a new partnership with Golf Channel. So if people are watching this program, they may have watched Golf Channel and seen a new initiative called Golf Channel Academy. So we're a partner in that initiative. I've been doing some stuff on Golf Channel quite a bit in 2015. It looks like there's more to come. So you and I have known each other for a long time, and it's been a lot of fun being on the show. And, you gave me an opportunity a long time ago to reach out to your viewers, and I appreciate the fact that you've come back and we keep on talking and helping people play better golf.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, I've been doing the podcast now for almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years in December. And it's just mind-boggling to me how this has grown as much as it has. I never anticipated this. And you were early on. You were one of the first guests that I tracked down, and you were very receptive to coming on the show, and I really appreciate that. Let's back up now and talk about the Nike golf camps for just a moment. Sure. That's a summer program.
It's a summer program. For us, it runs about June 14th to August 15th. But as a network, we've got about 120 camp locations nationwide.
Wow.
And you know, I started doing junior camps for them back in, I think it was 2000. And for me, you know, I was living in Phoenix, right? So they said, hey, what do you think about getting out of Phoenix for 2 weeks and going to upstate New York? We went up to Cornell University. I said, anything I can do to get out of Phoenix. I mean,
especially in the summer.
Yeah, right. So so I built a relationship with them, and they kind of moved me around the country, really trying to help locations that needed a little bit of a boost, you know, really sort of make the change they needed to be relevant in that market. And about 4 years ago, they said, what do you think about running our flagship location in Pebble Beach? So we stay at a private school called the Robert Louis Stevenson School. It's right within the gates of the Del Monte Forest, which is Pebble Beach. And we play Spyglass and Spanish Bay and Poppy Hills.
And how old are these kids?
10 to 18 is our age range.
And they're getting to play Pebble Beach and Spyglass? Are you kidding me?
Well, they don't play Pebble Beach. That's the only course they don't play.
Oh,
but,
all the other Pebble Beach properties I'm so they play. Sorry.
And it's really, really a great camp. And you know, when I was 12 years old, I got on an airplane and I went to golf camp down in Boca Raton, Florida, from the Philadelphia area. And I just had the week of my life. And to this day, I still remember everything about that experience. So being in Pebble Beach, and of course, it being a Nike program, you know, we get a lot of eyeballs from families all over the world. And one of the cool things that we do is we have a map of the world in our little dormitory, what we call the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And each kid on the first day, they have to say something about themselves, where they're from. Then they take a star and they put it on the map. And at the end of the summer, you look at this map and it's literally a global affair. We've had kids from Russia. We've had kids from Iraq. We've had kids from, you know, every part of Asia. And it's just really a cool program and a cool place. And I'm lucky to be part of it.
That's great. What's the curriculum? I mean, what's a day-to-day life for these kids?
Well, you got to keep them busy, because if they're not busy, they're getting
so, and it's boys and girls, right? It's mixed.
It's co-ed, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the kids are up at about 7 o'clock each day.
Love that.
Yeah. By 9 o'clock, they're at the golf course. We've got 3 hours of coaching. Then we have lunch, and then it's golf in the afternoon. In the evenings, we have some type of an activity. So, you know, some nights it's just camp. You know, there's no golf at all. We go down to Carmel Beach and we play touch football. We take the kids that don't want to do that, we actually walk them up onto Pebble Beach itself, and they go up to number 7 and number 8, and they get a chance to stand there and look at the ocean and take pictures and whatnot.
And annoy people who are trying to play?
Well, we get up there pretty late.
Okay. But,
yeah, other nights we do a mental toughness talk, which is part of all of our camp programs, just about the mindset associated with not only living well, but playing well. And then we also do a one club tournament down at the Peter Hay Par 3 course, which is located at Pebble Beach. We do that on Tuesday nights. And we always tell the story of Seve Ballesteros and how he grew up on the beaches of Spain with only one club. Hmm. So it's really an exercise in shot making and creativity, which is always fun as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you talked about how you went to sleepaway golf camp when you were a kid and changed, it was transforming, you know, life transforming for you. And I think that there's more and more research that's coming out that sleepaway camp is really a way, because you're living the life, right? You're living that lifestyle. It's a way for kids they stay engaged their entire lives. From whatever their camp was, whether it's a religious camp or it's a sports camp or something, but it just, they take it with them forever.
You know, it's really amazing. I think that social media has made us as coaches more aware of that impact, because mm-hmm. on a daily basis, whether it be, you know, on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, you know, we're just constantly getting little notes from kids that have been part of the program at some point along the line. In fact, just today, because we made mention of this whole Pebble Beach vacation deal, just today, a kid that came to one of our programs probably 6-7 years ago in Wisconsin just wrote this really long, nice note just saying how much he enjoyed the program and what it meant to him. And
oh, that's,
you know,
nice.
That still follows along with, you know, what we're doing today with our business out in Pebble Beach. And it's just nice to get those notes. And I think
sure.
that As coaches, one of the things we do with our orientation is we always create a reminder as to why we're there. And we're there for one reason and one reason only, and that's to create a special experience for those kids.
Sure.
So that's what I had when I was young, and that's what we really work hard to deliver when they come out here to Pebble Beach.
That's fabulous. Now, do kids have to audition to come to this camp? Do they have to try out, or is it open to everybody no matter what their skill level is?
There's auditioning, lots of singing and dancing, Fred. we have a panel of judges, and most of them don't make the cut, unfortunately. We send them home in tears. No, basically, we've got regular camp weeks, and we've got what we call the advanced weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's really up to the parents to sort of for where their child is. If they have any question as to what camp they should be in, they should call our office and see. But basically, the biggest difference from one camp to the other is, I would say, age range with a slight bump in ability. If you come to an advanced camp, most of the kids are going to be from 15 to 17 years old. They're playing on high school golf teams. That's their peer group. They get around the golf course very well on their own. So if you're not sort of above that age bracket, or your skill level is sort of on the bubble, you might not have as much fun at that camp. The average weeks, or the regular weeks as we call them, I would say the median age is probably 12 to 13. A lot of kids are at sleepaway camp for their very first time. So there's just a whole different dynamic in terms of, making them feel comfortable and making their parents feel comfortable, and just the whole communication process associated with being away from home. Mm-hmm. Sometimes thousands of miles away from home is really, really different. But, again, social media, every day at camp, we post a lot of pictures of what is happening at our camp.
You have to.
Yeah. Moms and dads can
exactly
hop on Facebook and then go, wow, you were at Spyglass. Here you're smiling and laughing. There's a whole pack of deer. You're at the beach tonight. I know you're homesick, but come on, stay for a couple more days. You're going to really settle in there, and it's going to be a great experience for you.
Do kids come from overseas as well?
Everywhere.
Really?
Everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. So this year, a lot of European kids, always a lot of kids from the UK, Denmark, Asia. Tons of kids come from all corners of Asia. A lot of kids from California, of course, a lot of Bay Area kids, a lot of Southern California kids. But
yeah,
it's one of those camp locations where the parents like to come here as well. Right?
And the camp is how long?
It's a week long, but we do 8 consecutive weeks. So a lot of kids that are coming from far away, they might stay multiple weeks. We've had kids stay 3 to even 4 weeks. So we're with them and they're with us. And, at the end of the summer, we look back and are usually very, very pleased with the outcome.
Pat Helmers writes over and says that his kids were counselors at a summer camp, Boy Scout summer camp. And that's where they learned to play golf. And it got him into golf. So without them going to camp, he'd never be playing golf. So there's another benefit of sending your kids away is what they bring back. They bring home. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just want to remind everyone that on the top right of your screen, if it's the same screen that I'm looking at, this video loop you're seeing, this is Jeff's website, which is MTT, as in make the turn, mttperformance.com. And we'll click on that a little bit later, so you'll get more information about winning the Pebble Beach vacation when we start talking about that. But I still want to follow up on what's going on with you. So Nike Camp, awesome, wonderful. And this is all year long for you. This is your full-time gig, right?
With the Nike camps or make the turn?
Nike camps, I'm sorry.
Well, I would say the biggest workload is the summer months. But as their national director, I create all the coaching content nationally for all of our locations. So when the kids come to camp and they get a camp workbook, I'm producing all that content. Throughout the year, I do a lot of video production and whatnot, just to help create stuff that's fresh and unique for the next camp season. But most of my time is dedicated to our new company, Make the Turn, which is sort of what you see there on the screen next to you, and it's sort of what we do really full time beyond the stuff we do for the camps.
Right. Let's go over now to Make the Turn. This is something that you announced on Golf Smarter before it launched a couple of years ago, right?
That's right.
And absolutely. And it's grown to some pretty spectacular heights. You are now partnering with Golf Digest. Is that correct?
Well, we're actually a business partner with Golf Channel.
Golf Channel. Wow.
We've done a lot of media with Golf Digest and Golf Digest. So, the basic gist of the company is that it's all about using the game, Brett, mm-hmm. to have life be the way you want it to be. So there's four different pillars of engagement. There's performance or skill building, learning how to hit golf shots the way that you're capable of. There's the mindset associated with playing great golf and also living a positive lifestyle. There's fitness, and of course there's nutrition. And all of these things for a long time have been part of my life. As you know, I married a nutritionist.
That's why it's the fourth one, right? That's why that one came in last year. Oh yeah, and don't forget nutrition because Kate's involved there.
I married a nutritionist, and she's made a huge impact in my life. Kate was a collegiate golfer, but she's also doing a lot of stuff with Golf Digest and Golf Channel now. I've had some fitness experiences that have really been life-changing for me over the years. You know, so fitness has always been something that's really important to me. And, of course, there's strength and there's mobility and there's stability, but there's also just feeling good. And one of our whole philosophies related to mindset, fitness, and nutrition is simply that people are at their best when they feel their best, right? So if you feel good, you're going to have a better chance of playing great golf. And if you feel good, you're going to have a better chance of having that sort of, find its way into the rest of your life as well. So make the turn. It's a golf performance and lifestyle activation company where we've got a great group of coaches that are our tops in their category. And our goal is to help people play better golf and enjoy their lives more while doing so.
So let's talk about it, because initially what happened with Make the Turn that I remember is it was once a week you would put out a different, let's call it an assignment of what your challenge is going to be that week. And again, it's performance, mindset, fitness, and nutrition. And then you combine them all, but you do one at a time, right? And now what exactly are you doing with the Golf Channel on that? Do you have weekly episodes or tips? How do you do it with them?
Well, that program is actually Golf Digest based. And
okay. So I did get that right.
Yeah. Well, back in 2014, I approached Golf Digest, and I'd done a lot of stuff for them editorially, just with regular print, print stories and whatnot. I did some video for them, but I really went in there and I said, what do you guys really need moving forward? And, the whole landscape of coaching and coaching based media had changed to the point where what they really needed was video. So I tried to come up with an idea for trying to get who we are and what we do in front of, as many Golf Digest viewers as we could while producing something that was really great for the magazine. So I created the Make the Turn Weekly Challenge series, and it was 50 video-based challenges that rotated through performance, mindset, fitness, and nutrition. And one of the things that I wanted to do is I didn't want these challenges to be how-to challenges. As a golf instructor, the things we normally do are, this is how you fix a slice. This is how you fix a hook. This is how you hit it 20 yards farther, right? And there's a lot of that out there, and there's always going to be a lot out there. But what I wanted to do is help people take their existing game and their existing lifestyle and create new and different experiences for them to engage in how you practice, to engage in how you might approach playing the golf course differently than you normally would. And hopefully these experiences that go through these four pillars will create a little nudge that makes you want to make some adjustments that lead to a more positive bottom line score or whatever else you're looking to improve in your lifestyle. So we did that, and it was really successful, about 20 million viewers in 2014. It was at times the number one rated program on Golf Digest TV. Right. That was something I'm really proud of. So, video has sort of been our thing. The next thing that we wanted to do was see what we could do on a more regular basis with television. And we were lucky to create a partnership with Golf Channel through their new network called Golf Channel Academy. So basically Golf Channel has gotten into the business of trying to do as much as they can to grow the game. So what they've done is they've identified coaches and locations throughout North America that they think are really great places for people to learn how to play better golf. So we're on location. We're a Golf Channel Academy out here at Poppy Hills. But the way the whole program works, it works as sort of a brand within a brand strategy. So like NASCAR is a brand, and Penske Auto Racing is a brand. Well, Penske Auto Racing is a NASCAR affiliate. So Make the Turn is our company. We're also affiliated with Golf Channel. And what that's done for us is open us up to a new audience. I think I've appeared on Golf Channel over a dozen times this year.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. It's certainly been a huge growth opportunity, you know, doing live TV, morning drive, things like that.
Wow.
Our new experience, which is a lot of fun. We're going to do more of that in January and February. So, you know, the arrow points up for what we're doing. And, you know, for us, it's just, you know, getting up each day and doing exactly what we want to do and believing in it. And, you know, if people sort of, you know, learn something and get excited about their games through the content we produce, then we feel like we're putting something good out there.
Yeah. Very good. So how many of the Make the Turn challenges have you now issued total?
Well, they've all been issued.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're all done?
But what Golf Digest did is just last week, if you were on golfdigest.com, they had a revisit of their favorite 15 challenges. And
cool.
It was really the launch of our Win a Pebble Beach Dream Vacation contest in association with the series. Mm-hmm. And as you know, a couple of years ago, we gave away a trip for two to Augusta. And one of the things that that we want to do with Make the Turn is, you know, not only create amazing experiences for people in building skill and living better and just being more excited about their lives, is, you know, we want to create experiences that are special and unique that in many cases people might not be able to do themselves. So, the trip to Augusta was really special. We had a great father and son from British Columbia win, and I drug their butts around every single inch of that golf course. And to this day, they've remained friends, and it was really, I think, as exciting for me as it was for them. And then being out here in Pebble Beach, I thought, you know, why not do the same thing? It's such an iconic place for a lot of people. It's a bucket list destination. So I said, well, why don't we do something great with the challenge series where when people sign up, they're entered to win our Pebble Beach Dream Golf Vacation. And they also receive each week one of the video challenges. So they'll start at week one, which is the short game showdown. And then it'll rotate through mindset, fitness, and nutrition for 50 consecutive weeks. And along with those videos that they will watch on Golf Digest TV, they'll also receive tips and strategies from each member of our performance team. So something from David Jack, something from Chris Doris, wow, something from my wife, Kate. So we're just trying to give as much as we can to people and hopefully make an impact on their game on and off the course.
Very cool. Very cool. Do you have any recent or any of the Make the Turn challenges that you remember to help those folks that are now starting to get closer to winter and locking themselves in because they can't get out? We've been talking a lot lately on the Golf Smarter podcast about off-season practice, off-season fine-tuning. Got any tips you can share right off the top?
Well, one of the things that I would definitely recommend, and this is more of a fitness-based challenge, you know, but it's all about trying to get in the habit of self-massage to try and make sure that your muscles aren't getting tough and tight, creating immobilities, you know, aches and pains and whatnot. So being that it's going to be winter, a lot of people are spending more time inside sitting on their couches watching TV. So the challenge to you is to grab a tennis ball, and if you're really serious, grab a lacrosse ball, put it on the floor.
Golf ball's too small?
Golf ball's a little bit too small.
Okay.
But what you want to do is you want to look for these little hot spots in your muscle groups that are tight and tough, and you want to try and work out those knots. So what I'll try and do as much as possible, you can also do this with a foam roller, but you know, most people, if they kind of look in the garage, they can find a tennis ball or whatnot. But what you do is you put the ball on the ground, and then you're going to try and roll your calves across it, and roll your hamstrings across it, and roll your glutes across it, and you can even pick it up and you can dig it into your chest and your pecs. But you know, if you're going to spend some time sitting down watching TV, you should spend at least 5 to 10 minutes trying to be productive and do something that really makes you feel better. So I think taking care of our muscles is a big thing. It's one of those exercises or challenges that hurt so good, so to speak, you know, because the first couple times you do it, maybe a little tear falls out of your eye. But my wife and I try and do the exercise as much as possible together. And it's one of those things where, you know, when someone comes out for a golf lesson, you know, they're so interested in the ball flight and the result, which they should be. But a lot of times, some of the basics, such as, you know, how they're holding the club or how they're positioning their feet, are so far out of whack that it's hard for them to get the result they're looking for. So one of my little taglines is be brilliant with the basics. So it's all about just doing the little things that anyone can do, you know, that add up to big results. So I think that as it relates to body health and muscle health, something as easy as sitting on the ground with a tennis ball and rolling across some of those tough spots really makes a huge difference. And, you know, I think fitness and golf and all of these things, they're so much rooted in momentum. You know, if you haven't been involved in an exercise program, the first time you go out there, you feel like, man, why am I doing this? This is really painful. But, you know, when you feel a little bit stronger, you know, and you feel a little bit lighter and you maybe lose a few pounds and all of a sudden your back doesn't hurt, you sort of want more of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what the program is all about, is not having you try and do it all overnight, but just creating these little nudges that, you know, create a result that makes you want more.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that you and your wife are doing self-massage. And I think that's something that everyone should participate in.
I always have to do self-massage.
Yeah.
My hands are too small. I can't make a difference, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
For me, you know, I still am working. She doesn't do any self-massage. She gets plenty of massages from me.
Good for you. Oh, I'm happy for you. Yeah. You know, you were talking about, you know, off-season things people doing and the lessons they take and you're working on this. Is swing mechanics, let me rephrase this. Are golf instructors focused too much on mechanics and not enough on playing golf? And there is a huge difference, correct?
There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And one of the things is that I think that a lot of coaches, and I was guilty of this, myself certainly is, you know, they're sometimes interested in creating a beautiful looking swing, something that looks powerful and repeating. And who wouldn't want to have a student that, you know, stands and looks and moves like an Adam Scott and to say, hey, I was part of creating that, you know, that work of art. But the thing is that the sole purpose of the golf swing is to create a correct and repeatable impact that controls your golf ball. Right? That's the sole purpose of the golf swing. And, you know, when I grew up, and I've mentioned this, you know, many times before, Jim Furyk was on my high school golf team.
Yeah.
And I used to watch him shot after shot after shot. And
not
Jim
a beautiful
really,
golf swing, right? Far
well,
from a beautiful golf
that,
swing.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I was looking at it the other day. Golf Digest had posted it. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's one of the most beautiful swings I've ever seen because it's so unique. It's so unique.
Okay.
It's so rhythmic.
Yes.
And the thing is, it produces a beautiful golf shot. And the thing is, when you look at the players from the past that didn't have the benefits of our modern day technologies, and they found their swings in the dirt, so to speak, as Ben Hogan might put it, there were a lot more idiosyncratic golf swings that produce great results. So when you look at the PGA Tour as it was when I was growing up, you know, you look at, you know, the Lee Trevinos, and you look at the Tom Watsons, and you look at, you know, other players, you know, the Gay Brewers of the world, the Miller Barbers, you know, and then of course here comes Jim Furyk, and yeah, I think that the game was in some ways a lot more interesting to watch. There were more personalities. I mean, back in the day, you had the golden bear, the great white shark, the black knight, the walrus. I mean, we don't have that stuff now.
Sure, we do. We have Jordan, Rory, Bubba.
Yeah. Those are regular names. Maybe except the Bubba.
Bubba, yeah, right. Well, depending on the place, the country you're in, yeah.
I think somewhere along the line, coaches became enamored with efficiency, right? Mm-hmm. And efficiency for some coaches was trying to fit a player into a model. And what we do is, you know, we don't have a specific model swing or a model of teaching. What we do have is we have a model for analysis, education, right? So one of the things that we've developed that really works well for us and our students is a program we call ISC. So that stands for Impact, Speed, and Control. And I talked about this on Golf Channel. And for us, ISC are really what golf's true fundamentals are made up of and what coaches should be most concerned with and what players should be most concerned with. So, Fred, when you think about golf's fundamentals, if I say, okay, Fred, on your show, we're going to talk about golf's fundamentals. Let's start, you know, listing fundamentals. You might say grip, boom, fundamental.
Right, PGA.
Stance, fundamental.
Right, PGA, position, grip, and alignment.
So you know, fundamentals, they should be absolutes. They should be things that every golfer does in a very similar way to be able to play the game at a high level. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Just the word fundamental by nature?
Yeah, sure.
So the thing is that when you look at great players, they don't all hold it the same, right? Not by a long shot. Jordan Spieth, right? And then Zach Johnson, not even close. They don't all aim the same. Freddie Couples aims straight left in the trees. And then Sam Snead used to close his stance and aim down the right-hand side of the fairway. So that doesn't work. Then you look at posture from a traditional-looking Adam Scott-like posture to Arnold Palmer reaching away from it like he's standing a mile to Scott Hoke like he's, you know, going to shank every single ball that he hits. So those things can't be fundamentals. So those are not fundamentals. Those are variables, right?
Okay.
So what are the true fundamentals? Impact, speed, and control. So if we go to impact, of course, there's a lot of things that you can put into the impact category. But for us, impact is all about angle of attack and what we call low point. Right? So basically, your golf swing is a circle, ground somewhere, right? So where is your circle hitting the ground? Well, if you're hitting an iron off the turf or a hybrid or a fairway wood, you want the low point to be slightly on the target side of the golf ball, right? With a reasonable angle of attack. So not too shallow and not too steep. So if you look at a high level player, high school, college, or beyond, you can line up 50 balls in a row. Imagine you took like some spray paint and put a white line right on the practice tee.
Yep.
You could put 50 balls on that line, and all of these players will have very good low point control. You'll see divot after divot after divot on the target side of the line.
Right.
The higher handicaps go, Fred, the more variable the low point position is.
Yep.
And the more variable the angle of attack and or resultant depth of divot is, right?
Right. So, here's a ball.
You got a ball. Perfect.
Okay. So now the goal is, if I'm hitting the ball that way, now it's feeding back. I don't know why. I hope it's not doing it to everybody. If I'm a right-handed golfer, I'm hitting the ball that way. And so, you know, you want to come down here so that if the ball's laying on the ground, I'm trying to figure out how to make this work. You want your divot to be up here. And most amateurs are putting their divot way back here and then, you know, clunk and then hitting top and going, oh, I lifted my head.
Yeah. So you want the bottom of the swing to be slightly forward on the target side of the ball with a, you know, reasonable angle of attack. Now, the reason I use the word reasonable is because that's what you need to produce reasonable shots. And Everyone's different. Some people hit more down, some people hit less down. If you swing down too much, right, then you're swinging down, you know, out of reason. If you swing up too much, again, that angle of attack is unreasonable, so you get these crazy shots. So If you're hitting a little bit down to a reasonable degree and the low point is slightly forward, then you're going to fall into that I check the box category of what a high-level player has the ability to do, right? The second fundamental is speed. So if you are a high-level player, high school, college, or beyond, you have the skill to produce enough speed to be able to challenge the golf course and or your fellow competitors.
You're talking about club head speed, correct?
Yeah, club head speed. So you produce enough speed so that on a par four, it doesn't take you four full shots to get there, right?
Right. It would be a beautiful
thing. You are a high-level player. Exactly, right?
Right.
So when you look at the PGA Tour, of course, everyone has the ability to produce enough speed. Right. And if you're at the lower end of the spectrum as it relates to club head speed, it's more difficult for you to challenge the other players. I mean, look at Chambers Bay this year. I'm watching this tournament and then US Open last hole. And I forget the exact number, but it was like Dustin Johnson pulls 5 iron from 245 plus yards. Right. It was either 245 or 275, some stupid distance. Right. Ridiculous. and he hits it to 10 feet. Right? I mean, how do you compete with that? Well, you got to be able to produce speed. Now, of course, your home course isn't set up like a U.S. Open style course, and you know the fellow people that you're playing golf with, you know, in the top flight of your club championship, you know, aren't hitting 5 iron from 245 plus yards. But the thing is, you have to be able to produce a reasonable amount of speed again to play at a high level, right? So if you can do that by using your hands, your arms, and your body effectively to generate a reasonable amount of clubhead speed, you can shoot some good scores. The final fundamental, RC, is for control. And basically, if you're a high-level player, you have a very good ability to control the height and curve of your golf shot. So basically, when you're hitting shots, you're getting a very predictable high point and bend right to left or left to right. And when you can do that, again, you can manage your way around the golf course very well. The higher your handicap is, the more up, the more down, the more left, the more right you hit it. The contact and flight is so variable, it's really, really difficult to work your way around all the hazards that the course architects have set out there for you.
So thank you for that explanation about fundamentals versus mechanics. But when I'm asking about, are they teaching golf? Are they teaching fundamentals?
That's my point.
Yeah, go ahead.
My point is that as it relates to this discussion, which I've made probably way too long, whereas before I would really be dialed into the fundamentals as I knew them growing up, right?
Sure.
And then the shape of the swing and drawing lines on a video and all those things that we've seen over the years. The thing I'm most concerned with right now are the condition of a player's impact, speed, and control, right? So, for example, Jordan Spieth, he puts his hand like this, right? But he still controls his ball flight, height, and curvature. So why in the world would I want to move Jordan Spieth's hand? Because if he moves his hand, it's going to change his ability to do that. So even though this so-called fundamental grip is a little bit idiosyncratic, it's actually perfect because it produces the result he's looking for, right? So what we're looking at in a golf lesson is, what's the condition of the low point? What's the behavior of the angle of attack? How much speed is this player creating? Is the height and curve consistent and repeatable? And if the answer is yes, it doesn't matter what they look like, we're not changing it.
Right.
If the answer is no, then all of a sudden we have to create an adjustment, right? So we develop a protocol to be able to shift their I, their S, and their C into a more reasonable range so they can compete at a high level. So now I'm looking at swings like Jim Furyk, and I go, man, that guy has got his ISC in check. That's the most swing I've ever seen, as opposed to, you know, look at all the places that club goes.
Yeah. So then I'm going to continue to ask this question, because obviously, and I know you're too classy to do this, so let me do it. But golf instructors are they're trying to get people in for an hour, take the money, and get it somebody else in for the next hour. And so it really does come down to focusing on the fundamentals. But when I'm asking about golf instructors teaching us to play golf, there's a lot more than just ISC, right? When you're out on the golf course, there's a lot of other things that are going to enter into your game that you need to have, or it would be really helpful if you had proper instruction on course management. Is that what you want to call it? Strategy or playing golf?
You're absolutely right. And I think that, you know, part of the challenge, Fred, is that golf is, it's a big game.
Yeah.
It's such a big game. And it's the game of a lifetime. And I think in the
define big, you mean like the real estate?
Big in terms of all the things that you could potentially learn and all the skills you could develop, right?
It's all encompassing.
To be able to play at a high level. And the thing is, in defense of other coaches, I think sometimes when someone comes in, their impact, speed, and control are so unreasonable that within that hour, the coach is just trying to help them get the ball in the air and forward over and over again so they can go out and have the chance of having fun.
And come back next week.
Yeah. Now, if you see a coach over and over and over again, and all you do is work on the same shot or the shape of your backswing, and then the coach is probably maybe not doing as much as he or she could with that time. So I think that, you know, one of the things that we've done in this business is we tried to shift our mindset and also the consumer's mindset from teaching to coaching. And it seems like it's just a word, right? Oh, I used to be a teacher and now I'm a coach. But the thing is that I think when you're a coach, you're building a relationship with somebody, right? So we're going to spend some time together over time, and we're going to go on this journey together that gets you out on the golf course and having the fun and having the experience that you're expecting when you sign up for these lessons. You know, one of the things that I do is that, you know, I offer hour-long lessons just like everyone else. But really my preference is to teach, you know, half-day lessons.
Really? Full-day lessons. That makes sense.
Yeah. And really what I do is, you know, from a price perspective, I really want people to look at the hour and say, you know what, I'd rather just do three. You know, and for me, it's not about the difference in the income. It's about what I can accomplish with them in that time, you know, what I can give to them in that time that's going to really help empower them to play the golf they're looking for. And the great thing about spending 3 hours with a coach or a full day with a coach is you really build that relationship. So, Fred, if you were going to come down here and spend a 6-hour training session with me, I call that the full day, I'm going to meet you for breakfast, and we're going to talk about your game at breakfast. And then we're going to go work, you know, through a variety of different shots, identifying what your swing behavioral pattern is and how we might like to adjust it to get you more excited about the game. And we're going to do that for about 3 hours.
Awesome.
And then we're going to have lunch together, Fred. And we're going to talk about it some more, and we're going to get to know each other. And then we're going to go back out, and we're going to work on some of those principles again. And then we're going to go on the golf course, and we're going to play 9 holes out of Poppy Hills and Pebble Beach. And we're going to see how it works for you out there. We're going to talk about some questions you might have related to shot making strategy or the other. And then when we get done, we're going to go on the porch of Poppy Hills, and we're going to have a celebratory drink together. And we're going to talk about what a great day it was. You know, so when you leave, you know, I want you to be excited about every single thing you did that day. But I also want you to know that, you know, because you spent that time with me, you're part of the family now. And if you have a question about your game, if there's something that I can do to help you, then that's what I'm going to do. You know, so I want you to be able to have that coaching experience where you know that I care, you know that our team cares, you know that we judge our success by your progress. But it's not just coming in and, you know, hitting a bunch of golf balls, punching the clock and leaving. It's an experience. And that's how I prefer to coach. And that's how I prefer things to go. I realize not everyone financially can commit to some of those longer time blocks, but everything that we do, we try and have it feel and operate the same way where, you know that we're in it with you to win it. And we're going to do everything we can to deliver.
Awesome. So listen, as I explained earlier, if you hadn't heard before, what's happening on this third screen here is Jeff's website, mttperformance.com. I'm going to lose that now because I would like for you, and what we've been telling people all along is that you've got this amazing contest coming up to win a Pebble Beach vacation. I'm going to want you to explain this contest, how you enter and what's involved. And then I'm going to open it up and see if anybody else wants to submit any questions. And I'm going to unlock it. So if they want to come on and ask you a question or get some advice, you can do that. And then after we take a couple questions, I would love for you to finish up with one tip that you can provide us. And I think that it's probably a good idea, since we talked about it earlier, an off-season tip would be a good one.
Okay.
So start talking about the contest, and I'll unlock this and let people ask if they want to come in and ask you a question.
Yeah, so the contest is in a partnership with Think Golf as our sponsor. It's facilitated by Golf Digest TV. To enter, you just have to visit our website, which is mttperformance.com/contest will take you right to the page. All you need is your name and email, and you're entered. And what you're going to receive are 50 weeks of emails. And within those emails are the Golf Digest video challenges. You know, so it'll start at week one, which will be a performance-based challenge, and they'll rotate mindset, fitness, nutrition until the program is done. There's no way for us to track whether or not you did the challenge or how well you did. But it's just all about giving you something unique and different to try above and beyond what you might currently do to try and help not only your golf game, but also all those other areas of your life. And in addition to the videos through Golf Digest TV, you also get weekly strategies from myself, our mindset coach, our fitness coach, and also my wife, our nutritionist, again, to help you on your journey. So that's how it works. And we're just looking forward to getting as many people involved with the program as we can, helping people as much as we can through our philosophy and the way we do things. And then sometime early in the summer of 2016, we'll pick a winner and we'll bring them out here to Pebble Beach.
Well, between this blabcast and the Golf Smarter podcast, which will be published next week, Find it in iTunes or at golfsmarter.com, or get the Golf Smarter app and have it automatically downloaded. I really was struggling whether or not to bring you on to talk about this, because the more I open this up to other people, the less chance I have to win. Oh, I didn't mean to do that while you were drinking. You almost did the perfect spit take on that one.
Yeah. Well, Fred, if you win this thing, it's going to upset a lot of your viewers.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, screw them. I don't care. Yeah. This is for me. This show is for about me and for me. Again, the link is mttperformance.com/contest.
/contest.
Okay. Fantasy Sports, it's rigged. Thanks, Pat. Anybody want to come in and ask Jeff a question, you're more than welcome to do so. If you're refusing to do so, I do want to thank everybody for joining us here on Blab today. This has been a lot of fun, and I plan on doing this much more. So thanks for being my guinea pig on this, Jeff.
Well, you're welcome.
So, all right, I'm not going to be twisting arms here. So if you could please, I would love to wrap this up again with just a final tip on off-season conditioning.
Yeah, so one of our mantras as it relates to learning is that in order to become different from what you are, you must first have an awareness of what you are, right? So one of our challenges is an exercise in awareness, and it's called the one-minute swing. So in your living room, go ahead and grab your phone, get the timer rolling, and what I want you to do is try and make a golf swing that lasts 1 minute in duration. And to do that, you've got to be moving very, very, very slow. But the slower you go, the more aware you become of how you're moving. You become aware of the face rotating. You become aware of how much your hips are turning or not turning, you know, where your weight is at the top, the transition, the follow through, the lean or pitch of the shaft at a variety of different spots. So it's really a great exercise. And if you got snow on the ground, you can hit balls outside. If you make these 1 minute swings, you're going to sit down and go, huh, I had no idea that I did X, Y, or Z. And then from there, you can educate yourself a little bit on what you might like to do instead. Then if you continue with these swings, you can really help accelerate building that new skill. Because if you can do it slow, I promise you can build into doing it a little bit faster. And when the snow melts and the rain stops, you go out there, I think you'll be a little bit farther ahead than you are today.
I've actually tried that. You're not the first person to brought you. You're the second person in the 10 years we've been doing this. The second one, the other person was calling it golf tai chi.
Ah.
And just moving as slowly as you can through your swing. And it really magnifies your errors, your mistakes, where you never even knew it was possible. And being somebody who has an extreme case of ADD, I rarely can get through a very, very slow swing. But every time I do, or both times that I have, I've found that it's very helpful and really magnifies my mistakes.
Yeah, it's really challenging, but again, it's being willing to do the little things that add up to a lot. And when you look at what the world's best players do within their training environment, you know, to try and make these little shifts and little moves that add up to a lot, they do so many things that are unique and different from just going out and hitting golf balls. And this is one exercise that really works for everyone.
It's a great one. It's a great one. All right, Jeff Ritter, MTT Golf. performance.com.
No golf. mttperformance.com.
mttperformance.com. And the reason I said that is because your Twitter handle is mttgolf. And you're also on Facebook under Jeff Ritter Golf.
Make the Turn.
Under Make the Turn. So all these things we have to remember, but it's not that tough. You should definitely look Jeff up if you're interested at all in becoming a better golfer. And especially if you want to get your kids to a golf camp the next summer.
You know,
golf camps.
While we're here, it's ussportscamps.com/golf is where you can find all the golf programs. So perfect. US Sports is the company that runs every youth-based camp on behalf of Nike, not only just golf. They're located in San Rafael, which is right in your backyard.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And that's the best way to learn about locations all throughout North America that would be a great experience for your kids.
Great. Jeff, great to talk to you, man. Have a great winter, great time off, and we'll keep looking for you on Golf Channel.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
All right, we're not going to end with the tip since he already did it, but hopefully you're not too confused. There's a couple things I need to explain about this episode. So you've heard me talk about Periscope before, and it's really fun, but it's still a little too one way for my tastes. If I'm going to go one way on this communication thing, it doesn't have to be live. We've got an established podcast, and you're proving to me that it's good enough for both of us. So I'm just going to keep it. Now, maybe someday when I get my next hole in one, I'll go live on Periscope to share it with you. Absolutely. But for now, I want to introduce you to this platform that we use called Blab. Yeah, Blab. Listen, we thought Google was a dumb name when it was introduced too, right? Anyway, Blab is available either as an iOS app for your iPhone or your iPad, or you can watch it from your Chrome browser at blab.im on your computer or on an Android device. They haven't made the mobile version, but again, it works on the Chrome browser. Don't try it on Safari. Use it on Chrome. Now, what I'm hoping to do from now on is record all the upcoming episodes on this Blab platform, mainly because there's a huge upside for you. When we're live on Blab, you can participate. Right. You can either submit questions in a chat room, I'll know you're there and I can see your question. Or if you'd like to speak with either me or the guest and then ask a question that I'm probably missing that you have in your head, or you just have something frustrating you on the golf course that you need an answer to, then join us using the camera built into your mobile device or on your webcam. Basically, that allows Golf Smarter to be a talk show. I think that's really cool. Now, like Periscope, Blab is owned by Twitter. So follow us at Golf Smarter on Blab and on Twitter. And then you'll get tweets when we're live on Blab. And you'll also get updates to upcoming events. What we're listening to here with Jeff is our first attempt at using Blab. You actually may have received an email invitation from me an hour or so before we started. There were a couple of you who joined, so thank you for holding my hand as we did our first one. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you on the next one, which will be a great way to finally meet face to face. That's what I'm looking forward to. Did you enjoy Jim Vinetis over the last couple weeks? I really did. I've been working with Jim on incorporating his method into my game. What I do is I'll shoot some video on my phone on me working on his setup and then would send it to him on the phone. And then he sends back a video with his comments and a comparison to his setup side by side. You've seen golf teachers do this. So if you're considering taking advantage of Jim's expertise, you may want to see some of these videos that he sent me back. I've posted them on the Golf Smarter app or at our blog page at golfsmarter.com, and they will be made available to you. Also want to let you know that if you want to watch this video, that this Blab that we did together, that's going to be on the app as well, or I will send you, if you want, I can send you a link. You can watch it on YouTube. And that will only be available to premium subscribers to watch the entire conversation as opposed to just listening to it. It's up to you. I'd love to get your feedback on whether that's intriguing to you or not to watch it. I want to thank you for your patience as I've been going through my rehab. I made it back to the golf course yesterday. I walked 18 holes. I had a great time. Nothing hurt. And I shot 12 over par. I have not been putting at all since I've been rehabbing, which was stupid, but I've been working on my setup, and I had a great time out there, and I love playing golf. Boy, was I getting nuts not going out there. Anyway, that's it for this week. Thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you next week, and I'll keep you updated. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and on Blab, at Golf Smarter, so you'll know when the next one comes up, because there's one coming soon. To a computer or an iPhone near you.